Aymad Duhan, thank you for coming to the show. Welcome to Below the Fold.
Thank you for having me.
The fourth version of the podcast. Give us an introduction. Who is Aymad Duhan?
So, who is Aymad? I am a proud Arab, was born in Saudi Arabia, lived there for 20 years, then moved to Lebanon, where I'm originally from, studied marketing and advertising in university, then graduated and started working in marketing and advertising since, and more importantly, I've worked in marketing, advertising, I've worked in tech, I've worked in basically some of the major ad agencies here, and I am now venturing into creating Muhtawa, which is a startup combining my three passions of tech, people, and content.
Fantastic. Great. Well, great to have you here. Also, I want to let my listeners and viewers know that we also have Xenia here with us. Hi, Xenia.
Hi,
welcome to the show. Do you want to give us a small introduction?
Yes, sure. So my name is Xenia. I've been working in digital marketing for almost 12 years. I started in 2012, at the end of 2012. I've been working with different channels, paid social, paid search. I worked as a digital strategist. Currently, I'm leading on paid social at the one of the biggest advertising group.
Fantastic. Nice. Awesome. So hopefully we'll be able to hear out from Aymad what sort of content works on social media, and then maybe perhaps hopefully some commentary from Xenia on what works from a paid perspective as well, or from a performance perspective. Aymad. So first of all, something that I'd like to ask my guest, what do you think about the name Below the Fold? Can you link it to marketing, to digital marketing?
Actually, it's such an interesting name because Below the Fold, usually people are very much involved with above the fold. Basically, what are the first impressions that people get when it comes to the brand or the website that people interact with? Below the fold is where the value is basically where you get to understand in depth the insight, the value proposition of a brand, and so on and so forth. So, great name.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This is what it is. This is what it means. Another link is, I don't know if you've ever heard about the above the fold versus below the fold placement for digital banners, and how people, or if you want, advertisers always prefer to make sure that their ads appear above the fold. Yet the one that is below the fold sometimes is very effective as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's very targeted, you're using the right amount of data and the right message, it could also generate, I guess, results.
Amazing, yeah.
Great. Now let's move away from the name of the show and talk a little bit about you, Aymad.
Yeah. So as I worked 12 years also in the industry, one of the biggest challenges that I kept facing, and I know that a lot of the people that are working with content are facing, is one, the lack of resources when it comes to content in order to take it to production, especially in an agile manner and to match the pace that we live in today. So when we look at the different content libraries that are there in right now, we find that the cultural representation for the region is completely missed out. And even if you do find something that is relevant to the region, then you find that every brand has used and abused it. So one instance, for example, the telco brands in the region have used the same cast for the same promotion using the same value statement. So as a user, I lost trust in all three telco brands because of this. So because of that huge thing, and because of the untapped creative industry that we have and the creative talent that we have, I wanted to create a platform that basically combines the creativity of the human element that we have here in the region, supported with the technological advancements of AI that are overtaking the content generation in the next 10 years.
Wow, so it sounds very exciting. On before we get into the technology part and AI, I do want us to spend a bit of time on the first point, which is very
culture.
Valid.
Yeah.
Which is the lack of culture relevancy when you go to these libraries or directories of content. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Shutterstock, we're talking about Getty Images, we're talking about these platforms, right?
Yeah.
You go in and you search for perhaps an Arab male eating a burger, you're going to get very limited options, right?
Absolutely.
I think we're seeing the same also when we're preparing presentations to our clients and we're trying to illustrate the thinking or the direction for or for a certain use case or a moment. You know, it's very difficult to find something that is very specific, right? Mm-hmm. Usually it's the same model with limited use cases.
Yes.
So, I mean, that by itself, I think, is huge. It's mm-hmm. a huge opportunity. And I think it will be a huge help, I think, for advertisers, for brand owners, but also for us in media who are trying to also find content to help illustrate our ideas.
That's exactly the point, because I know that there's a huge demand for it in the market. I know that existing solutions are not meeting those demands. And I know that generative AI is coming to overtake that. So where is our role and where is our culture when it comes to embedding us in that future technology and what it's shaping the industry to be? So with that, Muhtawa is basically coming to address all of that, keeping in mind the community of content creators, videographers, photographers, designers, and how and what vital role they play in this new chapter.
Right, yeah. Is AI helping with that? Is AI helping address that scarcity of culturally, locally relevant content?
AI has been doing insane things. If you go to the likes of Midjourney or OpenAI, DALL-E 2, and you look at what they're developing today, it's literally insane. It's accelerating the generation of content by miles. However, cultural representation is still a huge lack of knowledge when it comes to these platforms. And even when it is hitting the point, it's not bringing a realistic image to life. And basically, that's just from the creation of it. So, for example, a few days ago, we were testing DALL-E and we wrote an Emirati man under Burj Khalifa. All it gave us was illustrations. It didn't give us real images. So these were not really usable. Now, even if it did give us images, there's a huge problem with the legal aspect of it, where basically, because these platforms were built on public IP and they do not credit the sources of content that it basically learned from, they cannot be used in commercial spaces.
Right.
So it's not legal for them to go that way.
Yeah.
Because of that, basically, even if today DALL-E and Midjourney are facilitating a lot of the solutions are still not usable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a very complex topic, and I want us to go back to it later. I think we'll have a segment that, I guess, focuses more on AI. I want to ask you, or I want us to talk a little bit more about sensitivities. So you mentioned there are some sensitivities today mm-hmm. in utilizing AI content.
Yeah.
Let's talk about cultural sensitivities. Mm-hmm. How important are cultural sensitivities when doing content marketing in the region?
That's actually such a huge point, because if you look at it from the paid media aspect, the more relevant you are to your customers and the more the cast and the people in the ad look like the people you're targeting, the higher the results that you get when it comes to conversion, when it comes to call to actions and whatever. Actually, so much so that Google a couple of years ago released a report about how cultural representation and content increases your performance by 65%. And that's huge. If you look at it also from just a cultural aspect, and you go to the likes of Saudi Arabia or even the UAE, one of the things that we kept seeing over and over again in advertising and in content is that if you launch a campaign with someone who looks kind of Saudi, but is not really Saudi, people, for instance, detect it in a second mm-hmm. and they launch an entire backlash campaign on the brand, asking them, couldn't out of 35 million people in Saudi, 36 million people in Saudi, couldn't you find a single Saudi person to shoot the ad with? How yeah. come? And just because of that, your ad that was meant to build a connection with your audience does exactly the opposite. And then you have to kind of reestablish the trust and reestablish that connection by re-engineering the entire campaign. So it counter-effects basically what you're trying to do.
Right, right. Xenia, are you seeing any implications on from your side?
Yes, when you look actually, at what you mentioned is really interesting topic because, I mean, obviously, in order to perform better, in order to provide better performance, to increase your conversion rate, to decrease your cost per action, cost per conversion, and so on, you need to provide the relevant content. And sometimes brands are willing to do this, but that's exactly the case you mentioned, that they use like not the real Emirati and they not using the real content. That's why people can feel it. That's why I believe that creators can provide these truth to content. And moreover, they can understand their audience better because I mean that creators, they spend so much time analyzing their audiences, analyzing their results when they publish this content, then they publish another content. That's why they can like help the brand to create something really unique that can resonate to the audience. So yeah, obviously it's very important because I mean that my main challenge is as an agency that sometimes I ask my clients to provide the relevant content, to provide the called personalized content for the audience.
That's the word,
but I keep getting the same content again and again. And sometimes we use the same content, like, I don't know, for several months, for several years sometimes in some cases. But it's very easy to brief creators to get it done and actually improve your performance a lot. And I mean, that's great what you're doing, in my opinion, because again, when it comes to paid social, for example, it's very important to get good creative because you can do everything well in terms of the optimization, in terms of the setup. But if your creatives are not good, anyway, it doesn't help you to improve your performance because I believe that there is a research that shows that actually 50% of your ad campaign performance depends on the creative.
Absolutely.
That's why it's very important. Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah, that's a great point. Perhaps advertisers are a little bit dazzled by the performance capabilities of these platforms and feel like, you know, the algorithm of the platform will find users that are likely to convert and maybe don't weigh in enough on the relevancy that the content needs to create, right? And the creative. Can you maybe give us an example of content that resonated well with audiences in the MENA region due to like effective, proper localization?
Sure. So actually, a lot of the campaigns and content that we've been seeing in the past few years has been somewhat relevant and somewhat, some are very generic, most are very generic, but some are really standing out and they're creating that impact. Two examples that come to mind, for instance, one in Saudi Arabia with a brand called Flowart. Flowart created this entire campaign based on Saudi insights of when do men actually gift their partners with flowers. And because of the cultural nuances that were weaved inside the campaign, and they created a content series around it of different social episodes, that resonated very well with the brand. That the brand had a brand lift of over 100% just because of that campaign. And this was a campaign that was shot, if you look at the production quality, that wasn't a campaign that was shot with hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is a campaign that was shot with a very acceptable budget, but the impact of it was in literally in the multipliers when it comes to the brand value. Another one that comes to mind that we've seen recently is with the inclusion of new technologies such as CGI, and how, for example, Nissan activated the billboard on Sheikh Zayed Road, and how the patrols jumped from the dunes, the sand dunes, onto the road of Sheikh Zayed. Even though this is a CGI piece of content, and it's all about jumping from the sand dunes of the UAE onto Sheikh Zayed Road, so the cultural relevancy is literally in your face. It got them a huge amount of organic virality to the point that this piece of content outperformed a lot of their campaigns. So when you look at these two simple examples, you understand that sometimes it's not about how much money you're investing in the content and who are you shooting it with. Sometimes it's all about how can you tap into a cultural moment, how can you shoot it and represent it in a way that is, you don't need to be perfect, you just need to be right time, right message, right
relevant
place.
Amazing. Yeah.
Actually, it's very fun because I especially like the first example you gave to us, because sometimes you don't even know where these cultural differences lie. Recently, I had the wedding of my friend and I was like, do I need to bring flowers to her wedding? Because in my country, it's very common. You cannot go to the wedding without flowers. Mm. I Googled and actually, no, here you do not need because she's from India and it's not common to bring flowers to her wedding. And I was like, wow, it's interesting. Yeah. That's why it's like another aspect that sometimes you don't even like know about these cultural differences. But if you brief creators, they can come up with an idea and they can tell you and help you. Wow, that's what we can tap into.
Definitely.
Go yeah. Ahead. No, so I wanted to build on that first example you shared on Flowered.
Flowered, yeah.
I'd be interested to know what were the use cases for Saudi men to offer their wives flowers and how different they are, you know, from other places in the world.
So shockingly, even their ads was not specifically targeted just towards Saudis. It was majority Saudis, but it also showed expats as well. So that diversity that represents the true culture of Saudi Arabia was also portrayed in that campaign. Yeah. The different use cases, there's the normal one where he forgot and it's a last minute thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one where he's over planning, for example, and he already has a subscription with Flowered and they're sending them flowers on and on. Right. Another one was, if I do remember correctly, another one was him going out with the guys and in Saudi, you go out to coffee shops, you spend nights and whatnot.
Yeah.
And basically there is a delivery that is on the way. So he started basically texting her just to tell her that, oh, by the way, I saw this and I remembered you. So it's the contextualization of the content that really made it or break it. But a lot of the case scenarios were very similar to what you can see globally and some locally as well.
Right. Okay. Amazing. Cool. Any common mistakes brands make when they're creating content for a MENA audience?
Yeah, of course. One that we just spoke about, which is the cultural representation and how, for example, you assume that in one country, you only have one nation, right? Meanwhile, if you look at the GCC, is all about, even MENA, it's all about the acceptance and tolerance of different cultures all living under the same sun, basically, and coexisting beautifully. So you have, for example, when you talk about a country like UAE, you have all different nationalities from all over the world. Dubai specifically is a metropolitan city. So how can you create campaigns and content that target each of your different target audiences and segments? And then how do you deliver that message to them by not just using one person or one style of content, but different styles of content. So we tend to take a very generic approach when it comes to that.
But sounds also like a very expensive content budget as well, right?
So this is where the beauty of technology comes into place. When today you have the likes of dynamic optimizations and different dynamic creative optimizations and different tools that can provide you with different iterations of the same ad just targeted towards this different audiences. So for instance, how can you, using the same backgrounds, the same different music, different call to actions and different cast, and just have the algorithm basically mix and matches according to your segments?
Right.
Actually, it's very interesting because when I moved to Dubai, my first thought was, why don't we prepare like strategies divided by different nationalities? Because most of the brands don't do this. Sometimes they can prepare different creative variants for different audiences, but it's not like an in-depth approach. Of course, it doesn't make sense to do it for each and every ad campaign because sometimes the budget is not sufficient to go in this like personalized approach. But when it's a huge campaign, I think that it can bring a lot to the ad campaign if they can personalize creative based on the nationalities, based on different cultural aspects and stuff like this. So that was my like first shock here in Dubai because I was like, wow, we have so many nationalities here, but it's not like we do it a lot in marketing. I mean, that we do not really tap into this.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a challenge for brands, you know, when they're trying to implement content strategies here in MENA. And more specifically, the UAE, there are lots of different
I think over 150 nationalities.
Yeah, that's crazy. And even when you look at, let's say, those that are above 100,000, for example, or I don't know, maybe above 500,000, they're pretty fragmented.
Yeah.
So that's one challenge. What are other challenges that brands face as well in MENA?
So when it comes to content creation and content and basically content strategies, one is that today we are sitting in a place in the world where we have the highest population of people who are connected to the internet and the highest usage when it comes to social media channels. So on average, every person in the UAE has over 2 phones. On average, every person in Saudi has 1.5 phones. And in comparison, these people spend 7 to 8 hours every day on the internet, an average of four hours of which are actually spent on social media. So we're a hyper-connected community. We're extremely aware of the global culture and the local culture. And more importantly, we're consuming a lot of content. Now, when you take that, and then you take also into consideration that today, we're living in the attention economy, where millennials are said to have 3 or 4 seconds of attention span. Meanwhile, Gen Z has only 1 second of an attention span. Mm-hmm. That tells you that for people who are extremely hyper-connected, you only have a window of 1 second to connect with them. And if you look at how much content is being published on the internet every minute, Instagram has over 66,000 images and videos that are being uploaded. Snapchat has over 3.5 million billion snaps being sent on a global level every minute. There are emails, there are SMSs, there are a lot more channels. And just because of that, you start to wonder, how can I cut through all that, right? It's insane. It's the impossible task. And that's why understanding how to, first of all, create your content in order to be captivating from the first second and be able to send your message in such a quick, effective manner is one of the challenges. The second one is, how do you accelerate your go-to-market? So for instance, today, brands have 3 different places in order to generate content. One is creating content from scratch, and that is the usual approach of having either a content creator in-house or shooting content on the go for multiple campaigns, but that is costly. It's not something that is fast, and it's basically time-consuming. The second one is relying on stock content libraries, but we all know the challenges with that, the representation being a big part of it, and the lack of diversity in the mm-hmm. content. The third one is generative AI. As brilliant as it is, we're still not in a place where we can use it from a legal and policy aspect, or even from a practicality aspect, because it's not generating the accuracy and the realism when it comes to the content. So you're really relying on 1 and 2 here. And to match the demand of content that is being accelerated today, you have to think of faster ways. So this is why these are the 2 challenges that people face and brands face nowadays when it comes to content creation.
Oh, interesting. It sounds like there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely.
We are connected. We do pick up our phone 150 times every 5 minutes. But even if we do, we're distracted on our phones.
Absolutely.
From different platforms, different messages, different content creators, etc. So not only you have a lack of content resources, right? You also need to make sure that you're cutting through all this noise. So it does sound very challenging, to be honest. I'd love to see how Muhtawa will come in and help these brands, because I really think that it is going to help in this space.
So on that point, actually, we're a Meta official partner when it comes to content creation. We've been very lucky to have had the opportunity to work with them from the start, and we've worked with multiple brands like Jumeirah, Ashaya, and whatnot. And just in one of these examples, just for the content creation aspect, just by applying some of the best practices that we know, we were able to do an A/B testing with their other content that is very similarly shot. It's of the same production quality. And what we have found out through the A/B testing is that just with our Muhtawa content, we were able to achieve 209% higher LPV and 35% lower cost. So just because, and that's the same kind of effort that people take whether in producing content 1 or content 2, the difference is understanding the true best practices of social and how then applying them, or any content format, and then applying them in order to drive better results.
Do these metrics resonate with you, Ksenia?
It's huge. It's huge. Can you give us maybe some examples of best practices you usually apply in your work?
Definitely. So just the other day, I was giving a workshop of content marketing in Shalhoub, and we were speaking about five different best practices. One is cultural representation, which we have already discussed. Two is hacking the first second. The first second is very important. So how do you send your message? How do you get your audience hooked on the video or on the asset? And how do you keep them intrigued to see what's next? Content creators are great at shooting, but they, unless you tell them, for a lot of them, but some of them are really good at it, but unless you tell them how to hack the first second, they'll give you a nice video that may start in the third second or the fifth second. So you have 5 seconds that lost it. And then the second bit is how do you then keep them hooked for the remaining part, which is extremely important. The third lesson or best practice is how do you play with audio and sound? And those are two different things. So the audio track can be the music that you want to choose and everything. But then the sound effects are literally your storytelling through audio. So for example, with one of the fashion brands that we were speaking about, is how do we get the clothing or the wearing of something become so audio visualized in an audio manner that people get to feel it as if they're wearing it themselves. And this is, and you then manipulate the senses and engage them in a way to feel that they're taking part of that. Finally, and most importantly, you look at something like the call to action towards the end, making sure that the story is all aligned, and then asking people to take a certain kind of action, be it by engaging or visiting a website or whatnot. So these are very small tips when it comes to best practices of content.
Nice, nice. Especially like the topic about how fast we consume the content on social media, because that's what I like to talk to my clients a lot, because it's like we all know about this, that we don't spend a lot of time on one post, right? We scroll very fast. But when we create the ad, for some reason, we forget about this, right? Yeah. It's fun. And I remember that Facebook released the data. It was like many years ago. So I think that it's changed since then. But even this data showed that on average, every person spends only 1 or 2 seconds on one post.
Yeah.
So basically, that's why you have only 1 or 2 seconds to capture their attention. And again, it was like several years ago. So I assume that now it's even faster.
It's 1 second.
That's
1 second. Yeah.
And maybe, you know what, but it's easier to say that you need to capture the attention from the first second. It's much more difficult to actually come up with an idea how to do this. Maybe you have some examples on top of your mind how you managed to do this in the past.
So we worked with a retail brand in Ramadan, and the brief was it was such a complex brief, but it was a lot of fun to actually tackle. So their brief was that we have 3 different collections for Ramadan for the family, right? Modest wear, matching PJs, something else. And then they also had the launch of their e-commerce and their RTBs for the e-commerce. All right? And they wanted to communicate all of that in less than 20 seconds.
Wow.
So
were they launching as well?
So they launched their e-commerce. Right. So they were launching it.
After launch.
Yeah. So when they sent us the brief, and this was something that I basically shot with the team at home. The team came to me during one of the raining days where Dubai basically was being covered by water everywhere. Yeah. And we shot from about 8:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Just a few hours. And what we came up with, something that not only the brands liked, but also it was very effective in communicating this entire story visually without even subtitles, without anything, just by including a storyline that made sense. So captivating from the first second by sending out the message, putting a storyline that has the right transitions in order to take you from screen 1 to screen 2 to screen 3. And just keeping it fresh and social and trendy and all of that, along with the music. And then finally, we had the final frame of the call to action, which was visit the website.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And results, if you can share.
That that I can't share. Right. The other one I got the approval for, but that one I can't.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, great. Do we want to go into AI and content marketing? Perhaps if you want, you want to start? With?
Yes, about AI. So let's speak about AI. Obviously, it's a huge topic right now.
Yeah.
It seems everyone talks about it, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, it's really important because in my work, actually, I rely on AI a lot. I mean, because when you go to Facebook Ads Manager, to TikTok Ads Manager, to actually any digital platforms, you need to rely on AI, because if you overcomplicate your setup, it affects your performance mm-hmm. in a negative way. That's why it's much easier to keep it simple, because this way you can improve your performance. Mm-hmm. So that's why when I do the audit for my clients, the most common mistake I see that the team just overcomplicated the setup. So they need to make it simpler, that's all. But when it comes to content creation, I'm wondering, is it the case for you? I mean, can you rely on AI, or is it like, what is it for you in AI?
So when it comes to the creative and content process, mm-hmm. AI has helped us a lot in accelerating the generation of ideas and whatnot. But if you look today at the process of creating content or creating an ad campaign from A to Z, we have three phases. One, which is the conceptualization and the ideation of the campaign or the content. Two, the execution. And then three, the editing and post-production. Today, AI has done wonders when it comes to the ideation and conceptualization. So if you go to any art director or copywriter or even content creator or social media executive, and you tell them, you give them a brief, first thing they're going to do today is that they're going to go on the likes of ChatGPT or Midjourney and start to visualize what this idea could look like, or how can they address it, or go and find different references from social media like Instagram and TikTok and whatnot in order to bring references along with storyboards generated by DALL-E and Midjourney. And that's great, because what used to take a week now takes a day, right? Nice. Now, when you go to the creation aspect, AI still has not played the role there. And that's literally a huge part that is missing. So usually when it comes to generation, you would go to Midjourney or ChatGPT or DALL-E in order to generate some visual or something. The output sometimes is great, most of the times it's not. And even when it is great, it should not include any humans. It should be purely graphics in order for you to be able to use it, or illustrations. So this is where a huge gap is. When it comes to post-production, it's going bananas. Literally, there is Adobe that launched Firefly a year ago, and for images, where basically using Photoshop, you can extend images, you can extend realities, change it as it is. And recently with Adobe Premiere, now they launched the video editing, where basically with their example, they were showing someone who was shooting on a green grass, and that person, because he shot a video, they were able to include a mountain, they were able to include trees, and they were able to include moving people in the background. And that's just with the post-production. When it comes to podcasts such as this, there are many tools today using AI where you upload the entire video and then it takes it edits it to multiple social pieces of content with the right thumbnails, with the right subtitles. And it's been honestly such a great help in accelerating the editing process. So what we're seeing is literally the first chapter of what generative AI is bringing to the table when it comes to content, but it's going to help us accelerate a lot the content production. Now, it's great when it comes to tools, but what does that mean from an industry point of view? So we were doing a bit of research, and I'm adding this point just to give you a valuation of what that means in money. So in 2020, the value of the content marketing space or industry was about $5.2 billion. It was expected to grow to $27.1 billion by 2027. Because of AI, that valuation has jumped to $1.3 trillion globally by 2032. That is just in 5 years. That multiplier came just because of AI. Now, AI in 1 year was able to generate what humans have generated in 150 years in just 1 year. So humans took 150 years to generate the same amount of content that AI has generated in just 1 year, which is why the $1.3 trillion the estimated valuation by 2032 is not an understatement. It's actually very much likely to be achieved, if not more.
Incredible.
Wow. Especially, it's so interesting. So basically, 2/3 of work are done by AI right now, because it's like before the production and post-production.
So it's not 2/3 of the work is done by AI. It's facilitated by AI, because the human element is going to be needed always. AI is never going to eliminate humans or replace them. It's going to facilitate the work and accelerate the production of work. That's it.
I can't agree more, because one of my friends works for AI company, and he keeps asking me what I'm doing here, because he's like, AI is going to take your job over. So because AI can do everything, they can do setup, they can do the media plan. I'm like, in theory, yes, it's so easy, but in practice, I don't know. I don't see it happens, because it seems that anyway, even with AI, we still need like human interaction to make sure that it's relevant.
Yeah, I can't agree more.
Imagine, so, you know, today you have tools that can stop a creative or an ad on social media and replace it with another, right? You have third-party tools that can do that for you?
Almost. So basically, but it works this way, that you can have like a lot of different creative variants on the background. Obviously, it doesn't make sense to launch on all of them together, because if you launch like 100 creative variants, it's not going to work out, because platforms' algorithms won't have enough data to learn which creative variants work better, so they will choose like randomly some of them.
Right.
That's why how it works, you can launch maybe like 5 or 10 creative variants. Usually it's a best practice to launch about 3 to 7 creative variants, yes, for the ad campaign. Once you see that, for example, these creative variants work really well, you can go back and create something similar. And you can turn off the creative variants that didn't work out, and you can replace it with them with a new ideas, with a new approaches, with a new like images and videos.
Yeah.
So basically that's why, but still it's not like you can produce it like with the help of AI, because still you need someone to do the video shooting, to do the image shooting. So, but you can rotate these creative variants efficiently, and you can do it on the background without like manual input.
If you had an always-on campaign that was aimed at addressing a specific audience, an audience that kept changing its behavior, you would need to update the creative also as you go, right, for an always-on, because otherwise you'll be a victim of creative fatigue. So you need a tool that can, first capture when there's a creative fatigue, when there's a dip in performance, at the same time also create content that's going to perform, that's going to keep the performance increasing, content that will also resonate with the new trends and new insights about this audience that you're trying to engage with, right? And I think this is where AI, once it becomes good at content creation, could help with.
So it's funny that you also mentioned that, because a few years ago, maybe in 2020, we were working on a QSR brand, and we were creating, basically we were doing their product marketing. So we were running all their LTOs, all their product marketing, and we were creating the content for them. We stumbled upon a tool where we were able to, the tool got access to the ads manager and analyzed ads that we launched with them over the past 2 years, both on video and on images. What the tool was able to do is identify creative optimization opportunities based on the objectives. So if our objective was to raise awareness, they told us to get someone to wear red in the first second of the video. And that someone who's wearing red associated with the brand then will increase the level of brand awareness. If you want something to basically increase conversion, get a burger or get something, basically a combo meal in the first few frames, and this is how you increase conversion. And these different optimization opportunities and insights that we got from it actually helped us using the same content. It's just literally different placements of the elements inside the content. We were able to create different variations that increase performance of our ads using the same budgets, using the same everything, and get better results. So it's actually a huge, I has been here for some time, but now it's being accelerated and those insights are extremely valuable.
Yeah. I really like this aspect of our conversation because we also have a product that helps you to understand how you need to change your creative. Mm-hmm. So in terms of there may be some colors, maybe you need to change the placement of some elements, stuff like this. And it works a lot, but obviously you need to have like a big campaign because you need a lot of data to analyze all these elements, but it works really great. And I like how AI helps us, right? I mean that it helps in terms of the content creation, it helps in terms of the ad campaign optimization. It's like everywhere, but it's great.
Any last words, any shout outs?
Shout outs to the teams I've been working with. That's first and foremost. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to do whatever I've done so far. Look, the one thing I'm very excited about is the launch of our platform that will be by the beginning of August. We're going to basically get the platform accessible to content creators so that they can first get exclusive access to the platform, upload their content, and be able to generate revenue for the first time that is not just a small amounts of money that is getting because of their content, but actually substantial amounts. So this is going to be great. The platform is designed to not just only recognize their work and award them, but also to protect their IP in the future, especially once we launch the AI model. It will be the first in the world where basically we'll be able to acknowledge the sources of content and financially reward them accordingly. So this is what I'm excited about. Hopefully, once we launch, we'll get the content creators in the region to participate, to upload their content, and we'll finally get to see a content library that truly represents us as MENA, but also represents the richness of the cultures that we have in the region.
Fantastic. Where can our listeners and viewers find you, even though I'll include the links in the description?
So you can find us on LinkedIn and Instagram. It's Create Muhtawa, or on visit our website on www.mo7tawa.me.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Look forward to our next episode.
Thank you guys for hosting me. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing.